It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. It's been a great week on Fresh Oil as we began to dive into the book of 1 John this week. 1 John is an amazing book written by the Apostle John, and it talks about love. Nothing is closer to the heart of God than the subject of love. You see, love is not an emotion with God. It's His character. It's who He is. The Bible teaches us God is love. And John's going to dive into that here in this fourth chapter that we come to today. But he begins first by saying, test the spirits. Verse 1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, maybe you're thinking, what's that all about? Why does he say, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God? It's because there was a group of people at this time that John was writing this letter called the Gnostics. And they believed all material things were corrupt and evil, and that Jesus Christ would never have come in the flesh to this earth because that would have made him evil. So John addresses this, and he's got, you have to test the spirits to see if they come from God. Now you say, Keith, is this really applicable for us today? There are so many false teachers in our world today, friend. And John goes on in verse 3, he says, And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Now, most of us, when we think of the Antichrist, you think of the mark of the beast, the number 666, the one ruler who's going to come and rule the world one day. But John says something very important here about the Antichrist. He said, the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. You see, my friend, when this world ruler comes on the scene, and I do believe it's soon, he is going to be inhabited by Satan himself. He's going to be a part of the unholy trinity that we read about in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, as you have the beast of the sea, the Antichrist, the beast of the earth, which is the false prophet, and then we have the dragon, which is Satan himself. You see, Satan has always said, I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend to the mountain and be like God. And when he comes, he's coming like God is a trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the devil in the end times will come as a trinity, being Satan himself, along with the false prophet and the Antichrist. So John says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. It's the spirit that denies that Jesus is Messiah. Oh, they may want to say that Jesus is a historical figure, but to say he's Christ means he is the Son of God. He's Messiah. Now let's continue with verse 4. John goes on and says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, speaking of the spirit of the Antichrist and the false prophets, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's the great verse we've heard quoted so many times. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. John goes on in verse 5 and he says, they are from the world because they speak as from the world and the world listens to them. But we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, John's saying these false prophets, these false teachers, they speak like the world. So the world hears them, listens to them. But we speak the spirit of truth and not error. Jesus said himself in Matthew 12, 34, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now we come to verse 7, which really is the heart of this fourth chapter. John says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Friend, John is very clear in telling us the source of love is God Himself. John is calling on us here to embrace love not as merely an emotion, but as the character of God. This divine love from God is selfless, it's unconditional, and it's sacrificial. It's the love that sent Jesus into the world to redeem us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The greatest test of to see if someone is a Christian or not is, do they show love? Are they selfless or are they selfish? In verse 8, he said, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's interesting to me that verse 7 begins with this command, beloved, let us love. You can see here that love is an action word and not just a feeling. It's something we do and not just something we feel. See, we love each other because we have first been loved by God. John says in verse 9, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Almost a mirror verse to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The word John uses here in 1 John for love is the Greek word agape. It's an ancient word that had the concept of totally selfless love, the kind of love that loves us regardless of getting anything in return. God loved us when we were unlovable. John goes on in verse 10 and he says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, God loved so much that He gave. He gave His only Son to be the sacrifice for what I would do wrong and the sin in my life. John goes on in verse 11 and said, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's interesting here in 1 John chapter 4, and also in John 3:16, he uses that phrase, only begotten Son. Now, by that he means Jesus was not a son the way we are sons of God. No, He was a Son of God by nature. He was born through the conception of the Holy Spirit. You and I, we are adopted into the family. And John said He went on to become the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean, propitiation? It has the idea of a sacrifice to turn away the wrath of God. Jesus was our substitute on the cross, and He took our punishment for what we did wrong. Imagine today a child who is abandoned. He's left without his parents, without a home. This child is lost. He's living in foster care, always wondering if anyone will ever truly love him. And the child is moved from home to home, and in each place they receive care, but not love. There's food, there's shelter, but there's not that lasting bond. No one claiming the child to be their own. And then one day a loving couple walks into the foster care agency and they look at the child, not with pity, not out of mere duty, but with eyes full of compassion and care. And they choose this child. They make the decision to adopt him, to bring him home into their house. And the child is not just another name on a list. No, they're wanted now, deeply loved and even chosen. The couple takes the child and they give them a new name, a new identity, and a place in their family. Now that child is no longer alone. They're no longer just surviving, but now they're loved, valued, and brought into a relationship that's unbreakable. Every need they have is cared for, not because they earned it, but because their parents loved them so much they chose them. This is what God's done for us. When John says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. You see, we were once lost and alone in our sin. But God, in His incredible compassion, had mercy on us and He adopted us into His family, not because of anything we've done, but simply because He loved us. That's the kind of love that John is talking about here in 1 John 4 when he describes the love of God. And then John goes on and tells us, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When you stop and think about it, God forgave us of every sin we ever committed. And yet, in spite of it all, he still loved us. He made a decision to love us. And now he tells us, if I can do this for you, can't you do this for the people around you? Can't you just love your brother and sister in Christ? He goes on in verse 12 and says, no one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I love that. The love I have for my fellow Christian and my fellow member of society today, it comes from the love that God gave me, and it's perfected in us. He said in verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. That Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is the one that causes us to be able to love the unlovable, friend. He says, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I really hope as you're enjoying this verse-by-verse teaching we're doing now on 1 John that you see how simple it is to just take the Bible verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and you, my friend, can understand the Word of God. You really can. John says in verse 16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. See, you also have to believe that God loves you. See, it's not natural. Our natural mind says, how could he love me with all my faults and failures? But John says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now look at verse 17. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now, verse 18 is one of the truly great verses in the book of 1 John. Get this verse. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. When you come to understand the love of God and his grace, you no longer fear hell, because now you understand that heaven is a free gift that God gives us when we believe upon him. He said in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. See, John is talking here about the Christian's response to God's love. You can only respond with love when you've been loved unconditionally by God. Now, John closes out verse 21, the last verse of this chapter, by saying, and this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now, you might think, Keith, that's so basic. Why does he need to tell us that? Because so many Christians today believe they can go to church and love God and yet hate the people around them. And friend, it doesn't gel. It doesn't go together. That's why racism is not tolerated in the kingdom of God. You can't have that kind of hatred in your heart and say you have love for God. We must love our brother just like Christ has loved us. What a great journey it's been here in the book of 1 John. We're going to pick up next week with chapter 5 and share some great word from about overcoming the world that John gives us in 1 John chapter 5. Friend, I want to thank you so much for being a part of this radio program. I'd love to hear from you. Go by the website. It's really easy. WeNeedGod.com. Drop me a note and let me know you've been listening. Walk in grace.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at WeNeedGod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he He makes His mercies new every morning.